All right, party people, here we go, man. Yeah, my partner, man, Tony, hit me up, man, and he said he had something to spit, man, concerning something that we've talked about on occasion. Let me, first of all, we got to say what this is, man. This is powerandstrategy.com, basically 40% less niggatry going down right about now, man. Yeah, so Tony, man, go ahead and hit me up, man. What you got hot off the presses, man, that you felt the need to, you know, expound upon?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What happened?
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't know what it was. I think it's this damn phone. But anyway.
Okay.
It's not really hot off the press, man. It was just some shit that happened to me that I was thinking about. You know, I just moved into I'm in the historic district in downtown Dayton, which is actually a nice area.
Okay.
It's hidden away from the niggas two streets away.
Man, ain't it?
And so it's quiet over here, man. And, you know, so people kind of, you know, keep law and order over here. I remember when I moved over here, the first day when I got over here, there's a garage in the apartment that I'm, you know, staying at or whatever, or rent. And I opened the garage door, and the man who owns the building is black.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real nice house over here in the historic district. I opened the garage door. And, you know, I was going to pull my car in there, and this white man came out, you know, and he came to the garage door. And so I got my car. I'm like, can I help you? He was like, well, you know, this was unusual. He said my friend's door was open, and I came to see what was going on.
Oh, okay.
You know, mm-hmm. So I was just about to call him, you know, so forth and so on. And so for a split second, the nigga in me got angry. Split second. But then I caught myself and I said, well, wait a minute. You're moving into another community. This man has been here. Come to find out he's been here for 20 years. White man named Jim.
Okay.
Jim. Can't get no more whiter than that. Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, you know, check yourself, Tom. You're moving into this man's neighborhood. This is his community.
Mm-hmm.
He got a right to see what's going on in his neighborhood. If some shit look out of order,
mm-hmm.
If some shit look out of place, he got a right to ask what the hell is going on.
Right.
And so I said it to myself. I said, damn. I've been around niggas too long. You know, I was thinking to myself, you know, I didn't say anything. I had to wait to him. We had a pleasant conversation. We shook hands and I introduced myself. And I thought to myself, this is why white folks have decent communities.
Mm-hmm.
See, we laugh and we joke, you know, in our celebration of nigger philosophy and nigger rituals. We laugh and joke at white folks. You know, white folks, them some nosy motherfuckers. White folks, them some telling motherfuckers. Nigga, that's why their communities are orderly.
Right.
That's why their communities are quiet. That's why their communities are together. Because they take the responsibility of making sure that their communities stay orderly and quiet. They don't mean that there are kids in the neighborhood pulling pranks, but they're neighborhood kids. But they make sure that there's no ratchet shit, that there's no niggatry in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
This is why their communities are together. This is why their communities function so well. Because they understand that they have a duty. They understand that they have a right to preserve the sanctity of their community.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when niggas move into that community, you know, they think we...
Uh-oh. Tony. 40% less niggatry, my ass. Look at this shit. Your phone is niggatry. Tony! Oh, shit, son. Call me back. Did I even say my name at the beginning of the show? Oh, so tired. Here we go. nigga. That's you.
Oh,
that's you all day, son.
All right, well.
Go ahead.
As I was saying, we think that a lot of times that because we get money, we think that money, our money changes the rules of society, and our money don't change the rules. I was listening to Chris Rock. There was a joke Chris Rock said. He said in his community, he said it's only three black people in his community, him, Mary J. Blige, and Jay-Z at the time in his community. He said, you know who my neighbor is? He said, my neighbor is a dentist.
Right.
So what he was saying is that they had to make two or three times the money just to live next door to a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought about that too, and I was like, okay, white people go the extra length to make sure their communities remain orderly. And here's where I'm going with this, and I'm going to get called a coon for this, and okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't got no problem with that.
Right.
Bernie Mac, on the Chris Rock show, he said police brutality has its place.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
He said police brutality has its goddamn place. He said that he relayed the story of this nigga that carjacked somebody and shot at the police. He said, now, if I'm the police, when I catch you, I'm kicking your ass. What we supposed to do, discuss it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, when I catch you, I'm beating your ass on NBC.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I use that to say, and this is going to sound crazy, but bigotry has its place.
What has its place?
Bigotry.
Oh, bigotry.
No,
bigotry. Who?
Bigotry.
Oh, bigotry. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, bigotry got its place. That don't sound right.
No. Okay. Bigotry has its goddamn place.
Okay.
It's positive characteristics in bigotry.
Oh, shoot, man. I tell cats all the time, man, when they close down the projects in the city, man, that was a sad day, man, because once that happened, man, Trotwood went in the toilet, son. I mean, all the businesses fled, man. Ain't no more Best Buy, no more Target, no more Kmart, you know what I mean? No more restaurants. All that shit went bye-bye. When I first moved over here in 2008, there was retired folks in these apartments, and there was families. You had black families in these apartments, man. But then all of a sudden, once the flood of so-called disenfranchised Negroes came in, bruh, man, everybody bounced, man. So now we got nothing but it's an army of single baby mamas over here. And ever since they've been over here, man, there've been roach infestations. There've been bed bug infestations, man. It's been fucking litter all over the place. It's been, you know, used condoms on the steps.
Smell of weed everywhere.
Smell of weed everywhere, man.
Even at 6 in the morning.
Police over here all the time because of domestic stuff. Bruh, it's horrible, man. It's like, golly, man. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, there is a such thing as black folks with class. There is a such thing as, you know, well-adjusted black people who actually want to build something. But, I mean, they do just like white folks, man. When niggas move in, even they move out.
Even they move out.
Shit. And only reason I ain't moved out, man, because on the real, shoot, I mean, I'm cheap, and this is a pretty good price for these apartments. So it ain't that bad yet where I'm going to bounce. You know what I mean? It's getting there, though. Yeah, man,
well,
but go ahead.
That just goes to show you, goddamn bigotry got its place.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to set up no damn plaza or no shopping center in the middle of a community where nobody has any jobs and everybody's on assistance. Are you crazy?
Mm.
Why would they keep a plaza in the middle of a poor community that can't sustain or can't buy the services that they're afforded? Why would they do that? But you know what is in those communities? Corner stores with small fried chicken franchises inside them. Chester Chicken. They there.
Man.
Payday lending institutions. They there.
Right.
Now they got, you know, armor, iron bars and shit. And steel bars and shit on their institute, on their windows and shit of their stores, but they did.
Mm, dollar stores everywhere.
Mm-hmm. They got iron bars and, you know, burglar bars and all that shit, and steel doors that come, steel, you know, little windows that come, steel doors that come down over the windows.
Bulletproof glass.
But any serious business, now, they gone.
Mm-mm-mm.
They out. They out.
Mm.
They out. They out like OJ on parole. They out.
Man, shoot. But you got, you know, black folk out there, you know, still screaming racism, man, you know. Whenever black folk move in and businesses and white folk move out, it's like, man, you shut up. It's like, what don't you understand, and what don't you see? You know what I mean? And once again, you know, I go back to my law enforcement occupation. Bruh, man, it's been many a day. I just wanted to beat the brakes off niggas, man. Just because, you know, you stop them, you try and figure out what's going on. And, you know, it's just, you can tell the ones, and 90% are raised by a single baby mama. It's just, you know, instead of them acting like you did, you know what I mean, when you was confronted by the white man, you was just like, okay, I understand what this is, you know what I mean? This is actually something positive that's going on right here, because I would really appreciate if, you know, someone was snooping around my abode, that one of my neighbors would check into it too.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the average nigga, man, he's like, you oppressing me. You know, it's the social justice.
Why you all in my business? I got money. Why you in my business?
Because I'm black.
Don't worry about what's going on in your house. Don't worry about the fuck I'm doing on over here. And 9 times out of 10, if you're coming over there, you're doing some shit that's out of pocket. 9 times out of 10, when niggas get all bent out of shape about white folks being nosy, you're doing some shit they ain't got no business doing anyway.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Every time they complain, they got some shit, they doing some shit that they ain't got no business doing. You know, so that's why I said, you know, people gonna get, and I know they gonna take that the wrong way when I said bigotry has its place. Mm-hmm. But there are positive attributes. There are positive attributes even to bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, all you cosigners, you can't be for the white man. You cool ass nigga.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's what they gonna say. Okay.
Right.
I know that's what your low IQ habit ass thinking. Because you're not understanding, or you're not comprehending what the bottom line of the discussion is. Nobody, white people understand this, and this is how this goes. I'm going to paint this out. When a black person moves in their communities, white people have neighborhood improvement associations. Now, those are benign sounding organizations, but what they really are, they are the neighborhood intelligence arm.
Mm-hmm.
They're the intelligence arm of the community. You move into that community, they want to know who you are. They want to know where you came from. And most importantly, they want to know how the fuck you got there.
Okay.
If you can't answer none of those questions, they're going to watch you.
Okay.
I can remember back when there was a, when Angry Man did his podcast on, you know, the street nigga is the last bastion of man, black manhood, and I slightly disagreed with him.
Right.
What preceded that podcast was a comment section that I had with another prominent YouTuber, and I'm not going to call his name. And we was talking about, drugs being confined to the black community. He was up to my mind. I sold drugs. I said, nigga, you got it backwards. I didn't say you couldn't sell to suburban white kids. What I said is, you're not going to set up a drug spot in a suburban neighborhood.
Okay.
He was like, well, I get in a suit and go out there. Nigga, you're making my point. You get in a suit to go sell to them.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it necessary for you to get in a suit to go sell dope to them?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you bother to disguise yourself to sell drugs to them? You made my point while you sitting up here trying to argue with me.
Yeah.
You can't... excuse me. You can't do that in their communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point.
Okay.
You're not going to set up a dope spot in a community where the houses are over $170,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. Am I saying there are some children out there that are some people out there that are addicted to cocaine and alcohol? I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying you're not going to go in those communities and set up a spot in those communities. Why? Because Jim is there.
Oh, good old Jim.
Jim is there. Jim going to come see me. Now, he didn't know whether I had a gun. He didn't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He came, he stepped up to see what the fuck was going on.
Mm.
He didn't know if I was armed. He didn't know shit.
Mm.
All he know was that there was something out of place here. And I'm going to step up and see what's happening.
Mm-mm-mm.
And again, I said to myself, that's why they have orderly communities. That's why they have clean communities. And that's why they run this society.
Man, you cooning hard today, ain't you, boy?
Yeah.
Man.
You got your biscuit? Got your butter biscuit?
Man, I got my syrup over here. I got my bacon, my eggs.
Got the orange juice?
Got my orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
All that, man. Yeah, this go back to, black folks, especially in black culture, always embracing the lowest common denominator.
Never blame the nigga, like Wesley Muhammad said.
Uh-huh.
We can't be black people because we too busy celebrating the nigga. Because like you said, the average nigga would have got in that white man's ass about coming over here.
Mm-hmm.
Why you all up in my shit? Don't worry about what's happening over here.
Mm. Yes.
If any person that has anything worth losing would welcome Jim, I would want Jim to come over here and step the motherfucker if he sees something going on my spot. But you know how niggas do it, though. See, in the hood, we'll see niggas break in your shit.
And look the other way.
And look the other way.
Long, it ain't me. Yeah. That's snitching. According to
come over there. You come on and say, "Hey man, somebody what? That's a damn shame."
Mm-hmm.
You know, act like they ain't saw shit.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Shoot.
What did Chris Rock say? You ain't see shit because you was doing shit.
Right.
Probably involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or know the niggas involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or related to the niggas involved in it.
Bruh. Yeah, that's crazy, man. Mm. I lost count of how many times, you know, my spot got broken into coming up as a shorty, man, on the west side of Dayton, man. It was just crazy. It was like, man, you can't have nothing. Can't have nothing. Always breaking into cars, always breaking into the, the house. Now, when I lived over in the suburbs with the white folks, we could leave our doors unlocked. That's what how big the contrast was, man. And the income really wasn't that much better than, you know, when we moved over to the inner city with the black folks. The income really wasn't that wide of a gap between, you know, where the white folks was at and the black folks was at when I was in them suburbs, man. Because those apartments were still kind of considered ghetto, you know, as far as where the white folks was living. You feel me? Those was like the ghetto to the white folks, those apartments. But still, we could leave our door open, man.
Well, the ghetto to the white folks is still the suburbs to niggas.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, exactly.
Because, see, what they call the ghetto is really based on income base. But that income base, that tax base, let me not say income base, that tax base of those people that live in that community,
mm-hmm.
that can sustain the municipality that apartment complex is in,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, niggas and you know, these single parents, these baby mamas and shit that ain't got no income, marginally employed, seasonally employed, temporarily employed, and on the system.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a difference between that place you're describing and the place that you and I know as the coast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because those people where you were, there's an income. Those people are working. You know most of the motherfuckers over there on the coast ain't working.
Nah, hell nah. Not at all, man.
You know, so again, when we did this podcast before, we talked about the tax base. The tax base is based upon people having or drawing a certain amount of income. They have a certain amount of income to afford the mortgage. they have a certain amount of income to be able to pay the property taxes for the preservation of the community. That's what pays the water and sewer. That's what pays the police. That's what pays, you know, to make sure the streets are paved. That's what pays for community maintenance. Mm. But if you're in the community, well, ain't nobody making no money. Ain't nobody paying no taxes. There's no property taxes towards anything. There's no, there's nothing to maintain the community. So the municipality has to dig into other budgets. They have to dig into other coffers. They have to dig into other places in order to be able to sustain that community. And a lot of times, you know, if the city is up against other priorities or other budgets, something got to go lacking. And who do you think that's going to be?
Shoot, anything with a black face on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you move into their community, and they don't, back to what I was saying, when you move into their communities and they don't know who you are, they don't know where you came from, and they don't know how you got there, they got to watch you. Because if this is a trend where more and more people like you are coming into their communities and they don't know where you're coming from and they don't know how you got there, it's time for them to go. Mm. Because to them, the tax base has changed. Mm-hmm. That means now they lowered the bar and any and everybody can move into that community. Any and everybody. And that's not going to happen.
Right.
Not in their eyes. Because you think that you're going to move into their communities under the pretext that you want to integrate. So you think you can come into their community on Section 8. You think you can come into their community from lower income jobs thinking you're going to integrate. As Malcolm X would say, nah, you out of your mind. Mm. They ain't going to let you come in their community and destroy the fabric and the sanctity and the quality of their community just under this noble, this illusory idea of integration. Mm. You crazy out your fucking scalp. Mm. That's not going to happen. Mm. You know, so what they'll do, they'll move into a community, and the real estate companies are so cold with it. What they'll do, they will price the homes in that community outside of the average median income. Mm-hmm. Of your most upwardly mobile black person. Mm. They will price the homes in that community outside of the median income of the black middle class. That helps them to keep the neighborhoods white.
Ooh, excuse me, let me take a bite of my butter biscuit.
Mm. Yeah.
Tastes
good, eh?
Tastes good.
Roll it around that
circle
a bit.
Hey, that'd be happening to me, man. Every time I see a U-Haul truck, you know, pull up in front of my spot, I'll be like, oh, shit. Man, I'll be looking out my blinds, man. I'll be hoping and praying, man. It ain't just a whole bunch of goddamn kids and a single baby mama. I'll be like, oh, please, no. I'm like, please let it be somebody with a job or, you know, especially like, I prefer for dudes to move in, you know what I mean? Because, of course, most dudes don't have their kids with them, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And, of course, you know, it's a certain kind of cat, man. I mean, you can tell a responsible dude versus a so-called dirty dick Rodney motherfucker, man. So a lot of times, you know, you see a dude move in and, you know, you can pretty much tell if a cat got a job and if he to himself and, you know, if he's a fine, respectable citizen. You know what I mean? But, man, if I see a female pull up with rollers in her rollers in her hair, I wish. There ain't no broads rolling their hair no more. But, you know, with that, what's that bag on their head and three or four badass kids, I'll be like, ah, no, no. I'm like, man, I start doing my Archie Bunker dance. It's like, nah, man, not another one. Man, they just, they be loud and out of pocket, man, and it. They be fussing and fighting, and the kids be running up and down the steps, and they be drawing all over the doors with magic markers. It's just out of control. It's out of control. You know how many people I see get evicted? Like, you know, but, man, let me put it this way. Cats don't last long up in here, man. Single baby mamas bounce quick because, you know, even though the apartments I'm in, you know, they've lowered their standards, I'm not necessarily understand what they trying to prove here, but, you know, you got one time not to pay your rent. If you 1 week late, the eviction notice is on your door. They ain't playing no games. Shoot, And so, yeah, they go, man, they bounce him up out of here quick. I be like, damn, what's the purpose of even letting these scalawags in here, man? I don't know, but yeah, they don't last long here.
Well, it's that Fair Housing Act of 68. And then there's accommodations. There are all types of fair housing, and which is predominantly black over there, so that there could be no discrimination. But the point is that the type of progressive legislation on the books mm-hmm. says that you have to make way for them to have decent housing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, white people don't go along with that shit. Mm-hmm. They don't care if it's not fair to you. They don't give a damn.
Right.
Because their interest is preserving the quality of their community. If you can't afford to live there, fuck it. You can't afford to live there.
Right.
And that's just what it is. Mm. You know, Richard Pryor, Richard Pryor had a movie that came out in 1988. I don't know if you ever saw it. It was called Moving.
Nah, nope.
It was a movie where he was moving into this suburb, and he was buying his house from these white people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the white man was showing him the house, the white man said, "This is the pool." You know,
mm-hmm.
he said, "It's nice city." He said, "Yeah, it's real nice." The white man told me, "Taking it with us." And he took him in the house. He said, "Look, the cabins are real nice."
Mm-hmm.
White man said, "We're taking it with us." And he said, "Well," and what he tried, he said, "Oh, we're just joking. Ha 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 ha." You know, look at the stairs. It's nice. Well, the stairs are nice. Mm-hmm. "Oh, look at this view, honey." That's what Richard Pryor's wife said. "Honey, look at this view." White man said, "Ha ha ha, we're taking it with us." And everybody was lost.
Mm-hmm.
They went back after they bought that goddamn house.
They took it with them.
The cabinets was gone.
Yep.
The pool was gone. The stairs were gone. The patio went were gone. But nothing there but the shell of a house.
Mm.
That's the moral of the story. You can move in all you want to, but they're taking everything with them. They're taking everything. See, black folks think, or they're under the impression that location makes or determines a home value.
Right.
We're under the misconception that where a place is located, and there's some validity to that. There's some credibility to that. But they don't look at what maintains the quality of those homes.
Mm.
And that's the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
The people that live there can afford to live there.
Mm.
And again, when they price those houses, they price those houses outside of the average median income of the black middle class.
Mm.
So that's why Chris Rock said, "Well, you know who lives in my neighborhood? You know who I live next door to? A dentist."
Mm.
Why? Because there's no black dentist, one, that can afford to live in that neighborhood. You have to be making Jay-Z, Chris Rock, or Mary J. Blige money to live there. That's intentional.
Mm.
That's done on purpose. Most people have a vested interest in maintaining the character and quality, and they're going to do it. And they don't give a damn what you think about it.
It's funny. It's like maybe every 2 years they raised rent over in this motherfucker. And, you know, at first I had mixed feelings about it, but then, you know, I had to catch myself. And I'm like, oh, man, actually, man, I encourage that. Raise my rent. Because I'm thinking, man, you know, the higher the rent, you know, the better, you know, the clientele going to be coming up in here, man, you know, as far as living. I'm like, I can't deal with this, man. I mean, these kids is bad over here, man. These kids is bad, and these ratchet broads, man. You know, like I said, there's so much fussing and fighting going on. You can hear these chicks, you know, with these dudes arguing and fighting, and, you know, the police is over here. It's just like, wow, man, this is horrible. This is horrible. Like, raise that rent, man. Raise it. I'll shell out an extra $100. Raise the rent. If that's, you know, the barrier, if that's the vanguard that's keeping the ratchets out, man, you know, go ahead. You know, I hit you with a C note.
That's exactly what it is, and that's exactly what it's for. That's exactly why they do it. They do it because it's a way, because they said, well, you can't discriminate by race.
Right.
But they said a damn thing about income.
Shoot.
You can discriminate all day with income.
Shoot.
That's exactly why they do it.
And it appears to be working because, like I told you, man, they don't seem to be able to pay the rent when, once they move in. Like, they don't last more than 2 or 3 months. You know what I mean? As soon as they come up in here, they right back out. I'm like, God, that was quick. And I'd be like, praise Jesus. You know, I'm like, man, praise the Lord. Pray. You know how I feel about church, but, man, I feel like, man, I feel, woo, I want to testify. I want to testify. When them bitches move out, son, like, yes, I love it, man. Yeah, get your ratchet ass up out here with them badass kids, man. Damn.
That's the name of the game, because they know the badass kids. They know that that's a dusty nigga magnet. They know that. They know that they understand that. And it's not just black. They know that single parents, whether they be black, red, yellow, blue, brown, they know that single parents draw dusty motherfuckers. They draw other motherfuckers that ain't about shit. So what do they have to do all day? Fuck, create more babies, and they gotta have an income stream. They ain't got no job.
Right.
So what's the only other way they can make money if they can't get a legal job?
Shoot, man. Well, they're going to sell dope. They're going to do some crime. They're going to bust in your apartment. You know, there's a myriad of ways that they can make money in an unsavory manner.
Yeah, they got to turn to the street. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And again, you know, if they're not under no under no circumstance, under no circumstance, are they going to allow that to happen to their communities? Under no, they refuse, they're not going to allow that. If they have to move to gated communities, and we get, I got arrested. I got arrested when I was stopped, and I was just looking at that. No, nigga, ain't nothing to see here. Move on.
Hey, nah, man.
I was just looking at the houses because I find them beautiful. Okay, nigga, I'm glad you find. I'm glad you like my house. Time to go. Keep it moving. Keep it moving. They are not going to let their communities be destroyed by no niggotry.
Niggotry.
See, I say 40% less niggotry. Them is 100% less niggotry.
Yeah.
It is niggotry free. And again, like you said, black folks feel the same way. Anybody in a community with something to lose, anybody in a community that value their community and feel that they got something to lose, they feel the same way.
Yeah, man, it was a lot of good people over here, man, for the first like 2-3 years I was over here. Like I said, it was like, you know, General Motors retirees and, like I said, you had black families, man. And they was even young, man. It was, you know, see a black man and a black woman together, you know, with their kids. But, of course, it was all gainfully employed. They all had something to do during the day. There wasn't no hanging out on the steps, you know what I mean, smoking and drinking and all this nonsense, man. Shoot, I mean, they went to work, took care of them kids, you know what I mean. There wasn't no noise, wasn't no arguing, wasn't no fights. The police wasn't over here. It was just, it was beautiful, man. And these was all black folks. You know what I mean? And so, you know, you got these Negroes out there listening to this podcast, perhaps, and they be saying that dumb shit like, you was down in your peoples. No, nigga. Those are not my peoples. The ones that's moving in here with the roaches and the bed bugs and shit, man. Fuck them niggas. I got to dial it back. I got to stop cursing. But like I said, man, you know, my peoples, they moved up out of here, man. You know what I mean? 2 or 3 years up in here, and when they emptied out the projects, man, they closed them down, and they had to come over here and screw up, you know, mess up the energy, man. You know what I mean? So, yeah. People that's moving in here, they ain't my peoples. They might be yours, but they ain't mine. Proceed.
Well, see, again, that's the thing. They don't have a tax base.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ain't got a tax base, they ain't going to let you stay in their community. They're not going to stay in there. That's why when if they come in, if you move in, I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle in Michigan, he's a school teacher, but he invested his money on the stock market. Now, he's worth about, has a net worth of about $3 to $4 million. He retired as a school teacher.
Right.
When he moved into his area on the south side of Flint.
Right.
When he moved in on the south side of Flint, he was one of two black folks on the block.
Mm.
He was one of two black people on the block. Okay?
Right.
Well, then some more start moving in. And then I start seeing for sale signs. I start seeing for sale signs. And then what happened was, right down the street from where he stayed, they put up an apartment complex. Right down the street.
Mm.
They put up an apartment complex right down the street. And when they put that apartment complex up, right down the street, the next week, no lie.
Uh-huh.
On the other side of the street, I saw six houses in a row vacant.
Mm.
All of them for sale.
Okay.
When they put up that apartment complex, the apartment complex was the rent is based on your income.
Mm.
Those people were at the zoning board meeting for the approval of that complex. And when they found out that that was a rent, an income-based rental system, right, or renting of an apartment complex, when they found out that it was income-based, in other words, based upon how much you made as opposed to a standard amount,
mm-hmm,
and they had $130,000 and $140,000 homes in that community, they were out.
Right.
Within weeks. No, excuse me. Within a week. Within a week, when people got up out of there, man,
mm,
they were gone. I mean, gone.
Shoot.
Literally, on one side of the street, six houses in a row. 21st century for sale signs out in the yard.
Mm.
All of them. It broke the fuck out.
Sure. Yeah, buddy. You know, the formula for me.
When that apartment complex went up, when that apartment complex went up, and it became, and it went, hey, based on your income, houses start getting broken into, including my uncle's.
Mm-hmm.
Start getting broken into. All kind of shit start happening. And now, guess what? If 70% black, it's 70% black,
mm-hmm,
and there's more police over there now than it was over there 10 or 12 years ago.
But, Tony, that's because they be profiling black folks. They be purposely right over there, mm-hmm, you know, just messing with them because they black.
Yeah, right.
Oh. Wait. Let me take a bite of my biscuit. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Get you another bite.
Let me put some syrup on.
Some syrup on.
Mm. Oh, delicious.
A swig of orange juice. When I move, I'm going to get a story. No person's story. When I move,
uh-huh,
I moved into a place on the east side near downtown. They called that place Honky Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
All the niggas called it Honky Hollow. But when I moved in there, it was me in the building. It was me and it was another girl upstairs. We were the only two black people on the whole block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, in that building where we were, of course, she was a single baby mom.
Yeah.
And her baby daddy lived in Texas. And he would come up there and routinely whoop her ass when he was in town. Mm. So the police was always over there. Now, we the only house on the block with black people, and then police is constantly there at the house.
Right. Imagine that.
Only black people there. Imagine that. Well, a few weeks later, some niggas moved in. Guess what started happening? Houses started getting broken into. People's doors started getting kicked in.
That's not
that's
not their fault, because they disenfranchised, Tony, because the white man keeping them down, so they got to feed themselves somehow.
they went to the chief of police. They went to the chief of police, and they told the chief of police this. They said, you got 1 month to do something. They went not to the chief of police. They went to the commissioner for that ward.
Mm-hmm.
They went to the commissioner for that ward. And they went to him and said, you got 4 weeks to do something. If you don't do something in 4 weeks, if you don't do something in 30 days, you're going to lose a whole neighborhood. You're going to lose a whole neighborhood of voters, because we're leaving Flint. And we are moving to Davidson and Grand Blanc.
Right.
You got 30 days to do something. If you don't do something in 30 days, we're out. And not only are you going to lose that voting block, we're going to find somebody else to run against you, even though we don't live in the neighborhood no more.
Mm.
You know what he did? What? He went downstairs and he talked to the chief of police. Said, go over there to the east side. They got problems. Straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
They came over there. They raided it. They kept raiding that damn house until them niggas moved. Mm. And when them niggas moved, they never let another black person in that house again.
Damn. Wow.
They never ever let another nigga rent that house again. And that went back to being a peaceful community. When the niggas was out of there, it went back to being a peaceful community.
Hell nah, man. My thing is this, man, you know, from my perspective, of course, you know, since I'm not white, I'm not, you know, as extreme with it, man, but, you know, of course. Yeah, well, I know your argument. Your argument is, you know, the whole tax base thing. But, you know, when people move over here, of course, I'm not so concerned about their income. I just don't want single baby mamas, man. You know what I mean? If you have a married couple that move over here and they so-called ain't making a lot of money, that's cool with me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, just have a married couple over here. Have a responsible, you know, couple over here, responsible people.
You should have a, let's go back that right there, and that's income base. They may not be balling, but 9 times out of 10, they working, right?
Yeah,
Okay. They, both of them got jobs 9 times out of 10, right?
Yeah, yep.
Now, as opposed to who's over there now? You said they only last, what, 2 to 3 months?
Yeah, yep.
And they out, right?
Right.
Now, a married couple may not be, their income may be, well, $45,000, $50,000, maybe $60,000, but they're working.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's still the money, baby. No matter how you slice it.
All comes down to the money.
It all comes down to the money. What did they say on Idiocracy?
Mm.
You know, that those two, they were trying to have just one child.
Mm.
They were trying to have just one.
Yeah. Just one.
No.
Shoot.
What was the guy's name?
Cleavon.
I forget his name. Yeah, Cleavon.
Cleavon had about 15 of them.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. I'm like, yeah, man. Just have some responsible folks over here, man. Some mature adults, bruh. You know what I mean? It's like, boy, you hear all sorts of craziness over here now, man. It's like, dang. You know, step out on my, you know, step out of my apartment, walk down the steps, man. Like I said, you got cigarettes and used condoms and liquor bottles. I'm like, ah, niggas ain't shit, man. I'm like, man, this didn't used to happen, man. It's the whole, ooh, it's just disgusting, man. And that just shows, you know, just their mentality, man. You know, like when I come out and I look at the foyer, you know what I mean, where everybody's doors is at and stuff, I come out and I actually sweep, you know, I sweep it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, got dead bugs and it's got just debris and leaves. So, you know, people look at me like I'm crazy. Somebody thought I worked here one time because I was sweeping, you know. Like, no, this is where I live and, you know, this area is messy. And so I'm sweeping it just to make sure that, you know, it just looks presentable. You know what I mean? It's just that's a foreign concept to these niggas, man. They like, why is you sweeping? They're like, well, bitch, why are you littering? Every time I turn around, you know, they throwing popsicle sticks and wrappers. And it's like, God, man. Just what I always tell my babies, man. I tell them, like, you do the small things right in life. You know, that extends to the big things. You know, and I'm like, and if you the type of person that's always littering and throwing stuff out the window and just disrespecting where you live, you know, I don't really see you later on in life actually owning anything or having anything worthwhile. You know what I mean? Because you can't even do the small things right. You disrespect your domicile. You disrespect where you live right now. So I can't really see you elevating and getting anything worthwhile, you know, because you don't know how to maintain it.
That's that, you know, because see, in her mind, she's looking at you crazy because you're sleeping, but in her mind, that's the job of the apartment complex.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
That ain't her job. That's the apartment complex. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing their job for them? What's wrong with you?
Yep.
But I tell you, who wouldn't look at you funny?
Mm. Jim.
Jim wouldn't look at you funny.
Jim wouldn't. Oh, my God, man.
Jim would be out there with you trying to sweep it up.
Right.
That's why they have decent community. That's why they have orderly community. Because they don't let just any and everything go down in their neighborhood.
Right.
You know. See, we think being nosy and calling that under the nigga rituals and celebration, calling the police and being nosy, that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that people deride you about. That's something that people insult you for. Be nosy and call the police when you see something wrong. These low IQ having ass niggas, low expectation having ass niggas, that's something to be mocked. And ridicule.
Right.
But you're responsible in your community. In your community, you're responsible to know what's going on every second in your community. That's how you have a community. That's how you keep a community working. That's how you keep a community functional. That's how you keep a community orderly. That's how you keep a community quiet. It's time for us, and I thought about this, it's time for us to stop laughing at white people, and it's time for us to start learning from white people.
Wait a minute. Let me take a bite of my biscuit. Gotta take a big bite of the biscuit on that one.
A big bite.
Man, you done said some shit, man. Well, I'm about to choke on this biscuit right here, boy. This is a big chunk. Butter biscuits for everybody.
Good, ain't?
You said you need to learn from white folks. Oh,
it is time to stop laughing at them. Stop laughing at these niggas when they make these jokes about white people. Stop laughing at them. And it's time to start learning from them. I'm not talking about learning, you know, adopting their xenophobia and their racism and their imperialism. That's not what I'm talking about. And you can even learn something in that.
Mm.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
But you can learn something in that. Mm. You can learn something in that. But that's not what I'm speaking of.
Mm.
It's time to stop laughing at them. It's time to stop laughing at them and their cheese sandwich.
Mm.
It's time to stop laughing at them or making jokes about them when they on time. and making jokes about niggas when they late.
Right. Mm-hmm. Man, you know you done committed the cardinal sin by telling these super black niggas, man, that, you know, they need to, like, step back and learn something from white folks. Man, you done committed the ultimate sin, son.
You know I don't give a fuck about what these niggas think. You know that. You know me.
Man, what the hell did you throw back, man?
You know me.
Ah, boy, oh boy.
I'm not concerned with these ratchet ratchet nigga rituals. I ain't concerned with
right, them. Right, man.
I don't care about nigga politics. I don't care about that. I don't care, man.
Yeah, the concept of learning. Yeah, niggas is allergic to that.
To stop laughing at white people. Time to start learning from them. It's time to stop laughing at them. Or it's time to stop looking at them or laughing at them for looking at friends and not being able to get it. It's time to stop that. It's time to stop laughing at them. It's time to start learning from them.
Okay. Shoot, man.
It's time to stop clowning them. It's time to stop clowning them. It's time to start learning from them. And if you're unwilling to do that, then enjoy your place at the bottom of the barrel. Because you're going to be there for quite a long time.
Ooh. Yeah, boy. Hard head make a soft ass. Yeah, boy. They hard headed, man. They hard headed. They can't tell me nothing.
I thank God for Jim. Jim made the world a better place.
Oh, Jim.
And there needs to be millions more like Jim in the black community. Because if we had more Jim, we'd have less niggatry.
Less niggatry. But I love niggatry, Tony. What if I don't want niggatry to go away? Shoot. They comfortable with it, man. They comfortable with the niggatry,
They're comfortable with it. It's just like we've gotten comfortable. We've embraced a culture of deprivation. In other words, if one grows up without a mother and a father, we start thinking that it's normal not to have a mother and a father. So much so that we begin to rationalize. We start trying to make single motherhood the norm and not the exception. We're comfortable in a culture of deprivation. That's why the community is falling apart. That's why the race is falling apart. Because anybody, look at any society, they said that there's a saying that the true worth of a race is measured by the character of its woman. But I'm going to tell you, the respect that is shown a race is based upon the power and status of its man. So if there are no men that are empowered or have any status, it's over. It's over.
It's over, man.
It's over. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. You cannot have a community where you have half of the income, half of the tax base, not in the home. You can't have a vibrant community where you don't have both parties inside of the home. You cannot economically sustain a community on single parent profits. You can't do it. But we have become adjusted to dysfunction. We have become adjusted to deprivation. We have become accustomed to niggatry.
Shoot.
And you can't bring your niggatry in their neighborhoods. Because they know if one of you come, know the rest of you going to come.
Yep.
And if the rest of you come, they know 9 times out of 10, if it was that easy for you to just walk into their neighborhood, they know that the income restrictions have been relaxed and it's time for them to get the hell on.
Well, check this out. That's what we're going to do, man, because we're coming up on the top of the hour, man. You know, we're trying to limit these shows to, you know, a 60-minute joint. So, like I said, man, let's go ahead and wrap this on up, man. Give us your parting thoughts on this and also go ahead and plug, your website and what's going on as far as other podcasts and other projects you got coming.
It is time. I'm going to reiterate what I said. I'm going to close out. It's time to stop clowning white people. And it's time to start learning from them. Mm. It's time to stop the jokes when we are talking about how uptight they are. And start understanding why they are the way they are. And what are the results? What are the things that, what are the consequences for their being who and what they are? Throw away these empty nigger rituals and learn how to build a community. If I had to end with anything, I'll end in the words of the last poet. Die, nigger, so black folk can take over. Now, powerandstrategy.com, that is the site. 40% less niggardry. Still got to keep a little bit because you niggas will never listen. We don't keep a little bit. 40% less niggardry. Power and Strategy is the blog. Power and Strategy. We also have a YouTube channel. Like, share, subscribe, the podcast, the videos. And don't be shy about hitting the donate button. We update daily. If not daily, every other day, you know. So these updates and these shows will be fairly frequent. We have another upcoming series called Game for the People, where we're going to dispense basic legal first aid. We are not lawyers.
Right.
Let me get that disclaimer right out the gate.
Mm-hmm.
We're not lawyers. You should always consult legal counsel if you have legal issues, but nevertheless, we will give you information to help you understand the legal system. We will show you the finer points of how to maneuver in. I shouldn't say maneuver, that's a bad word. We're going to show you how to be more effective at understanding how the courts run and function. We're going to show you how to be more effective at understanding how the system works. We're going to show you how bankruptcy can help you, and we're going to tell the complete story.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to explain to you what do you do when you're confronted with civil litigations. What do you do when you're confronted with tickets, traffic tickets? What do you do if you're charged with a crime? What do you do if you're sued? What do you do if there's child support involved? What do you do if there are legal issues surrounding your home and your mortgages? What to do if you go into default on your mortgage because you had a bad downturn in the economy. Maybe, you know, some problems have happened. Game for the People will be an exhaustive series that will touch on every economic issue that black people can possibly have under this system.
Man, yep, boy. We almost done with our little quagmire, man, with our little lawsuit, litigation, whatnot, man, out there in California, man. So as soon as that's done, man, we're going to go ahead. We're going to start pounding the pavement, man. We're going to start cranking them on out. So, man, this Big Mike, man, you know, coming at you with my partner, man, Tony Maceo, man, at powerandstrategy.com, man. Shoot, don't be a stranger. Go over there and support the brother, man, for real. You know, what's going down.
Support the website. We also have a Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page, support the Facebook page, support the website, and support the YouTube channel, because we're coming with information that's going to help you. These are survival programs. This is in the spirit of the Black Panther Party. These are survival programs to help you survive. This is for black people. This ain't for niggas. 40% less niggatry. We say it, we stand by it, we stick by it. 40% less niggatry, power and strategy. This is to help you survive and to thrive inside of a decaying system. And we out. And we out.
Yeah. We'll be right back.